Hello, hello, ladies of Nubius. What is up? It's Coach Lizzie. We are here for maintenance coaching. I'm so excited to be here. Just getting back from vacation. It's great to be here with you. Hello. Julie's iPhone is with us. Sarah. Hi. It's been a minute. Like I said, I just got back from vacation. And it's so good to see everyone. Please mark your chat to everyone instead of hosts and panelists. This is a live coaching call. So raise your hand because we can do some coaching because I don't necessarily have like lots of spiel to talk about. So we need some hands raised to get some coaching going. But as we're waiting for folks to come in, the vacation I was on was actually a lengthy road trip. We were looking at colleges for my daughter, who is a junior in high school. And we started in Atlanta and drove sort of northeast to Virginia. Thank you, Nancy. We have Misty's here and Darlene. Hey, Darlene, Lisa. We saw lots of schools and we finished with the like crown jewel, coup de grace, my alma mater, William and Mary, the College of Knowledge. It was so fun. And to be totally honest, I was a little worried. I was like, oh man, I hope the weather's nice when we go to William and Mary. I hope that like the tour guide shows up and it's not a complete dud. And they did show up. It was actually, they did great. I was so giddy to be able to show my husband and my daughter where I went to school. And Colonial Williamsburg is so unique. There's lots of ghost stories. We went on a ghost tour. Unfortunately, our tour guide was this sort of grumpy old dude, but we managed. We still had some fun ghost stories. And like I said, I was just so happy to be there. And it turns out it was not really the school that she loves the most. And that's okay. She gets to go where she wants to go. So awesome. What do we got here? Wow, Zoom has changed some things. There's the Q&A. All right. Thank you, Darlene, for saying welcome back. I am in the Jacksonville area of Florida, so that's where I am most of the time. Okay, team, we're here for maintenance coaching, not necessarily talking about college visits. So please raise your hand. What questions do you have about maintenance? What's going on for you in maintenance? What are your like myths and misconceptions. I've been talking to a couple clients. So one client who is in maintenance, she's lost like over 100 pounds, and she just went on vacation on a cruise. And as you can imagine, like a cruise is an interesting maintenance experience. And so she was like, "I need all of the mental tips because I feel really good about the stuff I eat at home, but I'm going on this cruise and it's going to be the all you can eat and all the food is delicious and so forth." And there was one moment where she was like, the food noise is just a lot. It's so much. And again, even though she's in maintenance, she has reached her goal weight, she's still got a lot of food, thoughts about like, I just had breakfast and I'm already thinking about the Danish that I could have later as a snack. And so I replied to her, I was like, why do you want to overeat? And why do you not want to overeat? And I was like, these are real questions. This is not rhetorical. And so I just asked her to think through it. And so same thing for you when you are in a place that's perhaps outside of your normalness, and you're like, I don't know how I'm gonna handle this, and I'm having a lot of food noise, like let's say it's vacation, or like it's the holidays, or like I'm at mom's house and mom always makes the thing. And believe me, like I just got back from a trip. You're like, when you're in a different situation, it feels like all my whole normalness is not even like, who even am I? I do pretty well on travel, but I realized like halfway through the trip, like it did not even occur to me to leave a few bites behind until like Wednesday. It's like, oh yeah, sometimes we just need a little, mental reminder. And so I would love to hear from you. What are the things that you find challenging in maintenance? Darlene was saying like, my cruise freaked me out. Yeah, I get it. So let's talk about it. I need some hands raised here. I think I'm in the right screen to see if anybody's raised their hand, and it doesn't look like we have. And we don't have any Q&As, so what are the things on your mind, everybody, for maintenance coaching? Somebody raise their hand. We got 78 of you. Come on. There we go. Thank you, Joan. Awesome. Promote to panelists. Joan is the brave volunteer as tribute. I love it. I don't bite, I promise.
Sorry, and to do the click clicks. So I'm kind of sort of in maintenance, but not really. So part of it comes from not actually having a goal weight set. Part of it comes, so I've lost almost 190 pounds. So I've lost about half my body weight, and I started at 380. I've been hanging out in the low 190s. And it's kind of this, is it maintenance? Is it a rest? I'm not gaining, but I'm not losing. You know, it's within a window, so it's behaving very, very much like maintenance, or I'm behaving very much like maintenance. And I am kind of struggling with what do I do to kind of get it going, because I think like maybe I had this maybe number in my head from college, because we just get numbers, right? So I know it's just a data point on the scale, which is one thing I've learned here, which has been very, very helpful, because in the spring I had gallbladder surgery, and I between the day before surgery and the day after surgery, I gained 12 pounds, which you would think was just all water weight, but they actually filled me with air. But it took 4 months to lose it. So my body, I think, just said, we need all the fluids in here to clean up all the mess, all the white blood cells, all the cleaning stuff. And I was like, you know, and I was very grateful to No BS for that, because otherwise I think I would have freaked out and been like, I have to quit, throw in the towel, all that. And I was just like, kind of like hearing Corinne in the back of my head saying, your body's just taking care of itself. You've been injured, you're fine. Don't go off the rails. And I didn't. And you know, I've lost another 30 pounds since last year. But it's like, how do I, and it's not necessarily the motivation, but it's just either accepting it or like doing the next things, because it's I'm thank God for No BS, because it taught me about my enough signal. I didn't know what it was. I did 4 monk meals in a week, you know, just by myself, you know, no music, no anything to read, nothing, and just about fell out of my chair when I realized how little I need to eat to hit enough. Just, I was stunned. And then I had a temper tantrum that this is not fair. I'm never going to get to eat again. I don't get to eat like other people. I'm never going to have the foods I want, blah, 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 you know, and that's not true. And I do eat, you know, things that I like. If I have something that I want and I think, ooh, that sounds good, then I'm like, okay, mental note. And then, ooh, it sounds good in like 2 days or the next week. Then I'm like, it's going on my plan
Love
because
it.
I want it. And if I say you can't have it, I'll feel deprived. And I've learned from No BS and from self-reflection that as soon as I go into that, you can't have it, and I start depriving myself, then I, you know, I have a rebellious, I don't know, 10-year-old who just is like, I'm gonna do what I want and eat everything in sight, and that doesn't serve me. So it's just the, I don't know if my question is, how do I accept that, you know, living in the at 190 is 10 zillion times healthier than living at 380, right? And or do I decide that this really isn't maintenance and that I want to lose more? So it's kind of a double. And then there's one thing that you taught me that has been really, really helpful, and I've been trying to figure this out while I got on the call, is that you would say, okay, what's your thought? Okay. And then What is the story you're telling yourself about that thought? And
Right.
for me, that's been very, very powerful because it makes me believe that or understand that A, I am choosing to tell myself something,
Yeah.
right? And my thoughts are what's causing my feelings, and my feelings are why I buffer my emotions with food. But it also tells me when you say, you said that one time, what is the story that you're telling yourself about that? And what are you making that mean? That those are both two cognitive processes that I am choosing, and that I could choose to make it mean something else. Like I
Yeah.
could make it mean right now that I'm in the 190s, I've lost half my body weight, I'm so freaking proud of myself that life is good, and I'm just going to stay here for the rest of my life and be happy that I weigh 190 and not 380.
Yeah.
Or I could make it that I'm at 190, but if I get to 180, then I can tell people I've lost 200 pounds.
I see.
And is that something to be proud of? Or is there a part of me that's like, I can't go tell anybody I lost 200 pounds because they're going to be like, and this is the inner critic, right? Like, oh my God, that's gross. How'd you get so fat?
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
So, Joan, first of all, like, wow, you clearly have just changed your life. And it's just it's such a testament to you, and like what an inspiration in that. And you've also clearly like examined your thoughts, examined your enough. There is some serious life-changing things you have done. I don't know how long this has
I will
taken.
tell anybody who's on this call, do not quit this program. It is the cheapest, most effective cognitive behavioral therapy you will ever participate in if you listen to these ladies, these coaches, and Corinne, and you do the work. More effective than anything I've ever done
Wow.
because, yeah, it's, yeah,
Amazing.
life changing program.
Thank you. And so here you are at 190. And just for context, how long have you been in this sort of kind of maintenance, not 190 phase?
3 months.
Okay. Given that you have lost 190 pounds, 3 months at we'll take like give or take 5 pounds ish, 10 pounds ish.
Three.
Okay. That,
Pretty stable.
yeah, that could be extremely normal. And that, I mean, like 190 pounds is a huge change for your body. And so your body could just be like, oh, hold the phone here. We're just trying to get used to what does this feel like? So it could be that everything is on schedule, nothing has gone wrong. So there's that. And I love one of my, there's so many great quotes from Corinne, but one of my favorites is like, whenever someone is like, this is so frustrating, why bother? And she talks about her own stall, that she caught that thought and she was like, wait a second, just because the scale isn't moving on my own made up timeline doesn't mean that I should stop doing amazing things for myself. So there's also the question of like, what is your expectation? Which I think is kind of the crux of your question. So it's like, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, you're asking me, am I at maintenance or do I want to keep losing weight? Is that what you're asking me?
I think so. Because I did for a while think, okay, well, I'm in maintenance and this is good, but then there's this little part of me that says, well, you're 5'5", you weigh 190, you could certainly weigh less.
Well, I mean,
I obviously that is a very straight fact. Any person at any height can weigh any weight, right? So I mean, again, it's the thought work in this program that's like, sometimes I have thoughts and I just kind of have to giggle at them. I'm like, oh yeah, there goes, and it's because Corinne's been so honest about herself and her own thoughts, about how she would beat herself up and it wasn't good enough. And, I should do this or do that. And, a lot of it's just that self-acceptance of, realizing, that we're going to have those 60,000 thoughts a day, and the majority of them are negative, and they're designed to keep us alive. And if we listen to all those negative thoughts, we're going to be shoving food in our face and eating like an asshole.
So I think there's sort of two topics we could discuss. There's, am I at maintenance? Do I want to stay here or keep losing weight? That's one direction we could go. But there are another slightly more interesting one is like, If I lose 10 more pounds, I could say I've lost 200 pounds, and that is almost a double-edged sword. Like, it's amazingly impressive, and also, your words, gross. Did I hear you say that?
Yeah, I think it's yeah.
So that's an
There
interesting
is a
story
little
you're
bit of
telling yourself.
the critical voice there still
Okay.
peeping back up.
So let's take the first one, and you can tell me if we want to delve into the second one. So, are you at maintenance? What is not working at your current weight?
Probably not much.
Okay. That doesn't mean you can't still lose more weight if you don't want, or excuse me, if you
Right.
want to, but it's just good to know this is a good spot. You feel good here.
Yeah, I haven't weighed at this weight probably in 35, maybe 40 years.
Okay.
I mean,
Imagine feels pretty
since
great.
like grad school. So I'm 64, so it's probably 35 years since I've
Okay.
been below 200 for any period of time.
All right. So it's better for your health. You're feeling good in your body, better at least. It doesn't sound like there's anything that your weight is preventing you from doing in your life. Are you
No, I
doing?
mean, I more than qualify for knee surgery now, so I'm going to get a new knee and, all the other good postmenopausal stuff. So, and for anybody who out here is who's old, I lost all of this weight after I was in menopause. So don't say that you can't do it because
Wow.
you can.
Okay. All right. I'm like taking notes as to like I gotta tell Bailey, like we got an amazing testimonial here. Thank you, Joan.
Welcome.
So 190 is working for you. If you were to decide, I want to just take this out for a spin and see if I can lose another, we'll just go with 10 pounds.
Okay.
What
Good.
would need to
Yeah.
be different about your normal way of eating, your day-to-day eating? What would need to be just a little different for you to be living at 180? And I specifically put emphasis on that because you don't want to just lose weight. You want to live at a lower weight, which means
Correct.
any
Live.
change you
Right.
make is like, I'm living here.
Probably. Rethink my relationship with vegetables.
Say more.
Like in the beginning, so I joined No BS and I was in the at the recommendation of a physiatrist at Mayo Clinic who is a orthopedic doctor who does not do surgery. And she's
Okay.
amazing. And she was a member of this group. And she was like, there's this sassy, foul-mouthed woman out of Tennessee. I think she'll resonate with you. You need to join this group. And me being the eternal snowflake that I am special and nobody understands me, I joined the program. I was in the program for 11 months before I really did anything. Okay. I
Okay.
listened to a lot of replays. I would make a plan for 3 days and follow it and then stop and this and that. And then, so after 11 months, it got to be, I got sick of myself and I said, you've been overweight for 3 decades. You can make a plan every day and follow it every day and honestly assess it every day for 3 months. You've been overweight for 3 decades. You can do this for 3 months. And I embraced the vegetables like crazy. I ate the bagged salads,
Yep.
like all, I went through all the different flavors, ate them all, ate an entire bag. Like I didn't share it with anybody. It wasn't for a family of four. I ate the whole thing. But during those 3 months, I lost like 45 pounds.
Okay.
And then I was like, well, I guess this making a plan every day and following it and honestly assessing it works. Maybe I'll keep doing it. And then somewhere along the way, I think I've kind of been like, oh, this is interesting. I just realized this. Like after I found my enough signal, that eating all those vegetables just like required too much chewing. It was just like too telling myself that all those vegetables are just too much work. It's just,
Okay.
I'm not going to eat that much anyway. I broke up with food as like the pleasure in my life because I was obsessed with food and food porn and looking at recipes and what would be good and who might like it and where do I get the ingredients and all the food stuff, right? So I was like, I broke up with that. And so I no longer obsess about food 24/7. And sometimes I think that just eating all those vegetables is just like, it's just going to take so long. You're going to have to sit at the table for, 12 minutes instead of whatever, or 22 minutes instead of 12. And
Okay, I'm
it's
gonna
just
jump in
work.
here.
It's work. I think it's work. It's that vegetables are work.
Okay. And so, just in one sentence, what's the story you're telling yourself about vegetables?
There's too much chewing and too much work.
Okay. So,
It's
if you
crazy
would.
when I say it out loud, though. But yes, thank you
Interesting
for.
to examine that story.
Yeah.
Of which we could always ask, what else could be true? Like, just be like identifying whatever the story is you're telling yourself is so helpful because I could be like, oh, well, no wonder I don't want to eat them. So you could tell yourself a different story. But if you want to get to 180, this is a hypothetical, and you're saying, I need to reevaluate my relationship with vegetables. Just again, 190 is working. Is that something you want to put effort into, or you're like, nah?
I do, because not only vegetables are just good for my body. I eat so much less food than I used to, that it makes good sense for me to eat the foods that are highly nutritious. So, I don't get osteoporosis, or so my brain functions as highly as it can, right? Because the foods that come from the earth are the ones that actually fuel us the best.
Okay.
I don't eat much processed food as it is, but yeah, and I don't know. I just, yeah, I developed a vegetable aversion.
Okay. So on your like when you feel if you want to commit to giving this a go, you could experiment with, all right, first I just need to examine my story about vegetables. My story is it's too much work, all the chewing. So what else could be true about vegetables?
That they're refreshing and they taste good and I enjoy them. And I remember, like, I went through a period, I don't know, a couple summers ago, where I was eating like a bunch of like the red and yellow and orange sliced bell peppers, because now that I don't like grab candy bars or cookies or those kinds of things, those things are actually incredibly sweet and tasty and almost like candy. I mean, I remember eating a red pepper and going like, oh my God, this tastes like candy,
And all those things you just said are true for you. They're not like what you're supposed to say.
No, they're true. I mean,
Okay.
yeah.
Amazing. So notice I didn't ask you, what do you think you should eat? We're not putting vegetables on your plan because they're good for you. You genuinely said they're delicious. I like them. Bell peppers taste almost like candy. So you're just taking the same thought, or excuse me, the same circumstance, vegetables, and looking at it from this angle instead of that angle. So if you're like, I want to see if I can get to 180, and I think that requires me to just reevaluate my relationship with vegetables. So when I think about making my plan, assuming you still make a plan, you'd be like, what vegetables could I put on my plan that I would enjoy?
And then, I mean, I've got all the containers, all the glass containers with the lids. I can chop them up and put them in there. So there's no, I won't be able to say, oh, well, that means I have to get out the cutting board and I have to get out the knife, and then I have to cut up the cucumber, and then I have to wash the cutting board and wash the knife. I mean, it's like, no, open the fridge, get the lid off the container, eat some cucumbers, cucumber spears, and be happy.
I will share a hack that is like 1,000-fold increase my vegetable intake, which is single serve bags that I will take. I mean, literally, it's less than 10 minutes whenever I'm out, but let's just say it's on a Sunday. I get the bag of broccoli. So it's already pre-cut. All I have to do is open it, put it in the colander, water, toss it on, like I put a towel on my counter. So broccoli's already on the counter. I take a bag of three peppers, slice them up, colander, water. Put them on the counter. So now I've got a towel with a bunch of
Got a counter covered with
counter full of
vegetables.
vegetables. Yeah. And then I get out the Ziploc bags, put some in a bag, zippy it, and it's a single serve. And so, like back in the day when I was actively trying to lose weight, I would make an agreement with myself that like I could have whatever treat, et cetera, I wanted to after I had my vegetables. And now over lots of years of that, it's just easier like to grab the single serving bag of veggies and be like, all right, that's good. And so single serving bags, like making it easy is the key for sure.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Do
Yeah.
you want to delve into the story about I want to get to having lost 200 pounds, but what is that making it mean about me?
Yeah, I think it's probably valid because it's starting to come up more as I get closer, and that may actually, for a long, long time I just wanted to be under 200 and get around 190, and that was like a very, very positive goal. And then as I start to get closer to, I guess 180 being in reach, right? Another 10, 12 pounds. Then that means I've lost 200 pounds, and that's kind of a sober awakening of, and I do understand how I got that big, right? I learned through this program that I use food to buffer my emotions. I now believe that anybody who weighs 380 probably uses food to buffer their emotions. But when I joined this program, I was not an emotional eater. I mean, I weighed 380 pounds, but I was not an emotional eater. I was a competent business owner who had a consulting company, and I did not use food to eat. I did not eat emotionally.
I just want to make sure I'm understanding. Is that the story you were telling yourself, or
Oh
like?
yeah, that's the story I was telling myself. And then I finally had a call one day with an employee who I'd wrote a really nice email to and gave him five things to do, and he did three of them. Kind of crappy, had a phone call. He wanted a friggin' gold star because he was like, woohoo, I did all the things. And I'm like, no, you didn't. You only did three of them. You skipped two of them and you did a crap job. And I looked at my watch and it said 11:30, got off the call, said 11:30, got up from my desk. I took 15 steps towards the kitchen because it was 11:30 and it was lunchtime. And I had this voice in my head that was like, your best Corinne drag queen. So it was like a Corinne drag queen who goes, bitch, you are not hungry. You were frustrated. And I
All
was like,
right.
oh my God, I'm an emotional eater.
Yeah.
And then the thing came in is like, okay, because I listened to so many coaching calls. I knew what the next question was. The question was, is what do you need in this moment if it's not food? And I was like, well, I think I need to go sit someplace for 5 minutes and feel frustrated and just own the frustration.
Amazing.
And
Yeah.
that was a couple years in. I mean, it took me a couple years of making the plan every day, and I had probably lost over 100 pounds before I owned the fact that I was eating, out of boredom, out of frustration, out of happiness, oh, I have a feeling, let's eat kind of thing. So, and so I know how I got to 380. I think it's just that whole idea of I've lost 200 pounds. How do I make it just something that I'm incredibly proud of and that I can let go of any shame that I carry around having gotten that big?
So here's the thing. Is it a fact that you were once 380?
It is a fact.
Okay. Is losing 10 more pounds going to change that fact?
No.
Okay. So we could just own that like you could have lost 190 pounds or 200 pounds. Either way, it's not changing the fact that at one point in your life you were at 380 for very valid, good reasons. Anybody's weight, in my perspective, like she got there for good reasons. Her brain was doing the best it could to handle life. And so, like, no judgment. You were at 380. You've lost 190 pounds. If you lose 10 more pounds, that doesn't change the fact that you were 380.
Correct.
So, do you feel any shame about currently saying I lost 190 pounds, or do you feel proud or a mix?
I feel proud. I feel proud.
What would be different about losing 10 more pounds and saying I lost 200 pounds?
I don't know, but I think I need to figure that out.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's,
Joan, you know
and
you
I,
asked the question I'm thinking of.
what?
What would be the story you're telling yourself if you say,
Right.
I lose 200 pounds?
Right. It's, I know it's just a number. And it's weird because if I were to say I need to do some work on this, because if I were to lose more, right, let's say I got down to 160 and I would say I've lost 220 pounds, that seems monumental and celebratory and amazing. But something about 200, I mean, I guess I need to, spend some time with my inner critic and see what she's hung up on, because, there is this little kind of niggling voice in there that's, critical. I mean, it is the critical voice, but and I imagine there's a should in there. You shouldn't
Okay.
have let yourself get this big. But, the
Can I
one
give you a
thing
little
that,
homework?
yeah.
I would love for you sometime within the next week to send me a note, say, Attention Lizzie in Ask Coaches, and say, we coached 190 pounds, 200. The story I'm telling myself is,
Okay.
here's what I'm making that mean. I think the should sentence is this. And, you can go through the replay and be like, wait, what did Lizzie tell me to write? And then we can go back and forth on that. And just a note on like whatever that niggling shame is, from a coaching session where I was the client not too long ago, I was feeling shame about something, and my brain intellectually was like, this is dumb. This is not something that I should feel shame about. Like, I intellectually could get over it. It didn't matter. And my Coach Kathy, by the way, was like, so what? It doesn't matter if it intellectually shouldn't be here, it's here. So why not just say, okay, shame, here you are. And just like you did with that frustration, that moment, Kathy was like, what if you could just allow yourself to feel shame? And I was like,
Yeah.
like, oh, I guess I could do that. So,
Yeah.
yeah.
Okay. I will do that. I will do that
That's
because
amazing.
I know it's something tied to that number, because 220 feels celebratory and really good, but 200 is, and I think it's a gating issue, because I was like, I'm at maintenance and I'm good at like at the low 190s, but then I'm like, am I really? So yeah, and through that those thoughts, I did identify the whole, I've kind of become anti-vegetable, which is silly because I actually like them. So, and I, when you look at it that way, I think I am keeping myself stuck.
But so good to know, because then
Yeah.
like you can't change something if you're not aware of it.
True.
So,
True.
yeah. Joan, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, this has been great. I appreciate it. All right, have a good rest of your day, and we're going to call up Laura. Let's see, change role to attendee. And we've got Laura. Fantastic. That was so good. Lots of good stuff in there. So like, am I at maintenance? Do I want to continue to keep losing weight? What's not working at this current weight? And then, like, what's the story you're telling yourself about how much you've lost, how much you want to lose, those kinds of things. Great. Hey, Laura, you're currently still muted. Awesome. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Great, thanks. Great to talk to you.
So I'm in maintenance. I've been here since November. I'm still working on things. One thing I'm working on is I have the pattern. I love this month's course. I definitely have the pattern of overeating still late afternoon, evening when I'm making a transition from like work to home, and transitioning. And it's not so much that I'm frustrated that I'm going into more work. It's more that I'm mentally processing things that have happened during the day, and it's kind of hard for me. So I'm working on that. But the reason I came on this call is I'm fine with what I'm working on, but I'm going to be going through like a whole month, well, more 3 weeks of travel. And it's travel for school. I'm a school principal, so I'm chaperoning school trips. So for me, it's hard. I love people, but I'm definitely introverted, and it's difficult for me when I don't have space to, decompress, be quiet, It'll be long hours, early mornings, all the things. I would love to have some help with you just setting an intention for this month and not, I do not want to go into it with this because right now I feel frantic. Like it's going to be difficult. And I don't overeat. Like I'm not the kind that goes and oh, there's great food. I should just keep eating. Instead, I'm the kind of person that I'll do good until like, I'm worn out and then I'm grabbing whatever I can to make myself feel better because I'm just trying to comfort myself because I can't find space to decompress. I don't know. What could be some things to start preparing mentally and some things to practice? I'm also open to this doesn't have to be purpose, but a learning experience. It's not the last time in my life I'm going to be going on trips with kids. So
Have we talked before? I feel like we have.
yes.
Okay.
Yes, when I did the group with MJ, when I did the group with MJ, you did one of the calls. It was like
Okay.
last September, and we did talk. Yes, we did.
Amazing. Okay. Well, it's so nice to talk to you again. And thank you for all the work that you do with the kids and 3 weeks of travel. How exciting. All right. So it sounds to me like you're not super worried about, overeating during the day. It's more when you just, and exhaustion is going to happen. When you're exhausted, your brain is like, food will fix it. Or I can't even think. So let's just have food. Okay. So how, give me a little bit more context. Will you be staying in a hotel? Will you have your room by yourself? Will you be with someone else? That type of thing.
So the first trip is two trips. The first trip, I am chaperoning a senior class trip, and they're going on a cruise. They've been fundraising since they were in kindergarten, so it's a big deal.
Wow.
I know it'll be 8 days. It's a 7 day cruise, and then there's pro like 2 days of travel and like 1 day shared with the cruise, but 8 days. I'll be sharing my room with one of the senior girls. She was really wonderful, really wonderful. I know her well, but I will not be alone. And she's a
Okay.
and then the next trip will be FFA, Future Farmers of America. I'll be judging. It'll be their state competition. I'll be chaperoning. I'll have probably my own daughter and maybe another student in a room with me.
Okay. So the reason why I ask that is because if you know your pattern that you tend to like, once I get exhausted, then I turn to food. I was imagining, but please correct me if I'm wrong, that it's like at night when I'm beginning to wind down. But like if you've got somebody with you, that might put, brakes on, like, well, there's somebody else here. I'm not gonna like go face first in the Doritos. I don't know. What do
It
you think?
will. No,
Okay.
it will because I'm a total secret eater. I will in my own house stuff candy in my pocket so nobody sees what I'm doing. It's bizarre. Yes. So that actually will help. I will not be alone.
Okay. So, silver lining, perhaps. And I think that you could also plan ahead for, what are the things that are going to help you, like, actually help solve exhaustion? Like, your brain wants to tell you, when I'm exhausted, food will fix it. But, like, does it really? And, like, what actually helps with exhaustion?
Definitely, well, sleep, as much sleep as I can get. I need to make sure that I bring like melatonin with me. I know that I wind down really good with decaf coffee, which is weird, but I love making decaf coffee and sipping it. And I'm sure I could find some decaf coffee on a cruise. I've never been on a cruise, so, but I'm thinking that they have things, maybe even tea. I don't know. And that would be easy. I can do that in front of people. Yeah, and then I have noticed that kids are not very usually not very talkative in the mornings. I bet you I could still do some of my morning things. I like to read my Bible every morning and do some journaling. I bet you I could still find space for that.
Okay, great. So we can put in a little bit of structure, a little bit of normalcy into a not normal situation, which could help your brain be like, okay, this is not normal, but I feel kind of safe. Like I'm getting a little bit of my stuff in.
Okay.
And then I guess, do you want to create like a protocol or almost like some guardrails of like, if I do find myself turning to food, let's say there's like a buffet or there's something and you're like, I have had enough. I don't even care if people are seeing me eat. What are some of the guardrails where you're like, I'm okay with this type of food or this much of food, but I want to avoid that. Is there anything like that that comes to mind?
So weird around food. Ever since I've done this work, I've noticed that most food except for sweets and baked goods are have become almost like meh, like it's just food, nourishes my body. But sweets, that's what I still find myself turning towards. I don't want to say that I can't have it because I know that it will be there and there will be lots of it, especially on the cruise, I have heard. And
Especially around teenagers.
especially they'll be eating so much food. Yes. Okay, thank you for asking this. Okay, let me think. There'll be food, there'll be sweets. I'm sure that there'll be sweets that I would enjoy eating, and it'll be at a point where I'm definitely wanting some relief. Don't know. Like, I'm thinking like I'll get a portion, make sure I've got something, if I have to grab that decaf coffee with it, enjoy one portion of whatever it is and be thankful I ate it and done. Like I would like I think I should say that every day I will be having some sort of sweet or baked good. And maybe it would be super smart of me to wait till Would it be smart to wait towards the end of the day when I know I'll be wanting it the most? Or is that like setting yourself up for failure?
Great question. You know yourself the best. And so, I never want to tell you what to do because I'm not you. But I do like the way you're thinking about this, that like if you want to make it like, because I was about to ask you, do you want to have a sweet every day? Would that feel great? Would that feel like too much, not enough? You get to decide. And then the question is, do I want to put it at the end of the day? You tell me. It's because it's a cruise, you're probably going to have access to like different kinds of sweets. And so I was also going to offer you the tool of like seven or better, which is effectively the velvet rope tool, which is like I like to think of it on a scale of 1 to 10. For you personally, this particular cheesecake or cookie or ice cream, where does it rank on a scale of 1 to 10? And if it's a six or below, it's usually like I'm eating this because it's in front of me. If it's a seven or above, you're probably going to be feel pretty like that was good. It was worth it. I enjoyed it. By the way, interesting to try and teach your 17-year-old daughter that on a college trip when you're like, it's so different talking to your child versus a client. If anyone
Oh, I'm
has any
sure.
tips on how to talk about weight loss with your kid, let me know. So that's a factor as well that like you want to make the sweets you choose worth it for you. That like when if you decide you want to have a sweet every day, make it good. Make it the good ones rather than just the like, eh, it was there. And so when I say that, like, do you have a sort of a Rolodex in your mind of like, these are the ones that are going to be seven or better, and these are the ones I could pass on?
Oh yeah. I don't there's a lot of foods that I don't like ice cream. I don't like most cold desserts. I love chewy cookies and brownies. I love chocolate. So I definitely it's as you get into maintenance and you've been there a while, you've noticed that there's a lot of food that you could definitely leave. It's not that important when it's not serving an emotional purpose anymore.
Weird side note, I don't have any science to back this up, but like what I've noticed in my personal journey is that sugar by itself has less of a negative impact on the scale than sugar plus flour. So chocolate will likely have less of a negative impact on the scale than like a cookie or a cake or something like that. Now, I love cookies, and so that's the kind of thing where I'm like, is in on my just my recent trip, I had a couple of cookies and they were worth it. So it's like you get choosy about those things that you're like, it's not gonna have a great impact on the scale, but it's worth it to me.
That makes sense. I like that. Okay. And you know what would be a really good experiment? I am still part of the clean plate club. Maybe something fun that would be good to try on this trip is I will leave it behind if I start eating it and I'm like, that's a five.
Yes.
Not going to be worth it. 'Cause I still clean up everything. I just portion myself less than I used to.
Right.
So that would be really cool, fun challenge to do. See if I can leave it behind. Like take one bite and say, nope, it's a five.
And I love how, like, just the mindset you're bringing to this of like, how could I make this a fun challenge, like a puzzle, and just, be curious about it versus like a restrictive thing. So you're
Yeah.
already coming into it with the right mindset.
I think that's a really fun challenge. I'll see if I can become a leave it behind. I'm gonna see if I can become a one bite woman. Wouldn't that be cool? Like I can take one bite and say, I'm not hungry, it's not worth it. Or I'm still hungry, but I'm on a cruise. There's a whole bunch of other food that I could eat. Why would I
Yeah.
do that? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
Or, and
that'll be
also, like, if
fun.
you know you're going to have fewer bites, you're really present and enjoying the hell out of those bites and like, well, it was so worth it.
Yes. And to
Versus
be
like,
honest,
yeah.
yeah, I tell you what, I would enjoy my desserts more if my one, treat was in the morning or midday. Because if I eat it at night,
Oh,
like it just
interesting.
becomes like a shovel it in, see what I can get out of this. It's not about the food at all then. And if I remind
Oh.
myself of that, I bet you I could say, I'm gonna look for that one good thing. That one better food or best food
Yeah.
early morning, like a pastry or something in breakfast or midday, when I know that I'm really going to be savoring it. 'Cause I know at the end of the day, it'll just be a, it doesn't matter how good it is or what it is. It'll be very emotional.
So good to know, which is why I can't tell you what to do. But I can ask you when, and I say when, it's nighttime and you're like, I know I already had a treat today at 10:30, but I'm wanting something tonight. What can you say to yourself that will help you remember something's coming tomorrow?
I think and most importantly, I need to check in with myself. I need to check in, like, what is going on? How are you feeling? And it's definitely okay that you feel this way. That has to happen first. And talk to myself kindly that urge is not coming from that's that they're just coming for a real reason. And then after that, I can say, you know what? Right now we wouldn't enjoy it. And it wouldn't change the way you feel.
Yeah. And I would
And
say, you put it on your plan tomorrow. You come across an amazing dessert at 7 o'clock at night, you'd be like, oh, this is tomorrow's treat. I can't wait. It's gonna be great.
I like it. Okay. And I am hoping that actually I will still be in maintenance a month from now at the next maintenance call. I'll type it into the chat. But yeah. So thank you, Lizzie.
You're so welcome. And if there's, I don't know if you have access to the internet or whatever, if you like want to say right in to ask coaches and you're like, SOS, or here's how it's going, please do keep me posted.
Okay, I will. Thank you.
Awesome. Great. Thanks so much, Laura. All right. Good stuff. I so appreciate people raising your hands. Here we go, attendee. All right, we got Lisa is coming up. And then I will get to some of the Q&A. Fantastic. Lots going on in the chat. I'll have to catch up on that in a minute.
Oh.
Hi, Lisa.
Hello, where's my video? Hold on.
It's okay. I love your profile picture with your kitty cat.
Thank you. Good old Grayson. He just left the studio a few minutes ago, so.
Ah.
Well, hello there.
Hi there. Great to see you.
Thank you. Been in maintenance for about 6 months. Yay. I'm at
Yay.
the high end of my range right now. I'm not as comfortable in my pants, but things happen. I know what to do. I got laid off 6 weeks ago, so I've had a big shift in
Yeah.
my routines, in my thinking, in all the things. And I guess I'm kind of here for some direction because I'm trying to think of what I can do during this off time because, to be honest, a job is not found in a month anymore. So I'm looking for what I can do to kind of what can I do and improve while I'm off during this time. What would you do if you all of a sudden had 3, 4 months to? Because I don't
Well,
job hunt an 8-hour day. It's like half the day I can job hunt, and then my brain goes fry, and I have to go do the other things.
Well, I can tell you exactly what I did do when
Oh,
I got
goody.
fired in 2020. I cried a lot, and
Yes.
then I said, I don't know how and I don't know when, but I'm going to make this a win for me, but I'm still really pissed off.
Yes.
And it took me about 5 years to get over the pissed off, like full pissed offness, but I really have come full circle. But in those like 6 months that I was unemployed, I spent the first couple of months like feeling mopey and feeling also a lot of internal pressure of like got a job hunt, going, push, 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 push. And also COVID was happening, so there was a lot. I definitely was eating. And a lot of this, so job, COVID, a lot of stuff. But there came a time where I was like, I am going nuts. I
Yeah.
need a creative outlet. And this is not weight loss advice, but I painted. And I see your arts behind you. Like my creative juices were like, we need an outlet. And I was like, I can't keep job hunting. I need to do something. And so I painted like seven canvases. Did a mural on my kid's bathroom wall. And it just helped my nervous system settle.
Okay.
And that is a big deal. Because when you lose a job, when you have a transition like that, it's extremely unsettling. It's potentially threatening to your identity. It certainly was to mine. And your nervous system is going to be in fight or flight. As much as on the surface, you can be like, it's going to be fine. I can, yada, yada. You can talk your way through it. And that's amazing. Self-talk is very important. But you can also own that there is a part of your identity that's like, what the fuck is happening? I am freaking the hell out.
Yes.
Yes. And so the more you can create safety for that, inner 7-year-old who's like, I feel like I was bad or something like that, whatever the story is that, that was the story I was telling myself. Creating safety is important. And so whether that's like you're going for walks, you're petting your cat, you're doing some art, those are not frivolous. Those are extremely valuable nervous system resetting tools. So I would that's kind of a not probably what you expected, but I would say like really give your nervous system some respect.
Okay.
Allow yourself to do the things that feel good outside of food. Like of course you're probably going to be eating for food emotion reasons as well, but like the non-food things that feel good, lean into that. If your brain wants to say this is not productive, your brain is mistaken. It is productive because it's helping you feel safe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So that's the nervous system part. In terms of your question of like, what could I be doing? Can you give me a little bit more context? Like, are you asking like, can I refine my skills? Like, what are you asking there?
Is kind of broad. I know I'm probably going to start a gym. I reached out to Marcy, who's one of she's in this group, but she's also in my accountability group. She's like, dude, you need people, go to the freaking gym. So
Yeah.
yes, it's $25 a month, but I think it's going to be really good for me mentally, physically. I've gotten squishier since I've lost my gym at work.
Okay.
So, I'm a little bit overwhelmed as far as where am I starting? I know how to walk. I can do the treadmill. I can also walk outside, but it's overwhelming when you think about where do you start with working out at a gym? And I know you're a healthy person. You take work out at home, I know, but where would you start?
And so is the question, where would I start in terms of exercise specifically? So tell me a little bit more about you. Where are you starting from? What's your current exercise amount?
So when I got laid off, I was walking every day, 5 days a week. And I was lifting 2 to 3 times a week.
Okay.
And then also, well, and then also here at home, I have physical therapy I do in the morning. So, yeah.
Okay. Walking
And I
and
was
lifting.
just starting to lift heavy when I got laid off.
Okay, great. What are your feelings on group classes?
I'm okay with it. A lot of them I see are high cardio classes. I am not a high cardio girl. I am interested in the strength training, I think. I'm just intimidated, not because of the fellas there, but because I don't know where the things are that I should do. And I know I reach out to the guys at the gym, but
I mean, obviously it depends on what kind of gym you're at, but what I would recommend is go up to the front desk and explain loosely what you just said to me. I'm new. I have some experience with weights. I would love to schedule an appointment with a trainer, a somebody who can, take me on a tour, give me the lay of the land. Maybe I'll schedule an appointment with them to give me like a training session to set up a workout or so forth. There's lots of different free resources you could get to, like, if you're like, I'm a self-starter, I can do a workout on my own. I just need to know where the stuff is. But I mean, gyms are begging for people to come. And so if you're like, I want some help, and and they should have some good customer service of like, oh my God, we would love to help you feel welcome, that type of thing. So if you just ask for, I'd love a quick tour from someone who has experience, that can hopefully help you feel comfortable with that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
It's overwhelming when I think about I have time right now to take care of myself, be it mentally, physically, food-wise, emotionally, all the things. It's sometimes like, well, where do I start? What should I do? You know, because
Yeah.
basically I have my afternoons to take care of me.
Yeah. Given that, because I'm imagining your job search is all self-directed, like, I don't know if you've hired a coach or anything, but like it's probably all being generated by you. That's a lot of emotional and mental effort you're going to be dealing with, sending out resumes and applications that you hear nothing from. You're dealing with rejection. That takes a lot. And so even though normally you may be the kind of person who's like, I can go to the gym and do my own thing and I'm a self-starter, you may consider giving yourself a break and like taking a class, hiring a trainer, looking for the group lifting class, if there is one, that like all you got to do is show up and they tell you what to do.
Okay.
That could be a relief in this season.
Yeah, you're right. Cool.
Because you're expending a lot of mental energy in your job search. If you could have somebody tell you what to do in the exercise versus you having to expend energy with that too, it could be easier.
Awesome. I hadn't thought of that. I appreciate that. Thank
Yeah,
you.
you're welcome. Yeah.
Cool.
And then, another thing that I noticed myself doing during that time period was like clockwork. I was having a snack between 3 and 4 o'clock. And there was around then where I was like, am I actually hungry? Of course not. And so, and just like Joan said earlier, I was pissed off when I realized I was not hungry. I was like, but I want a snack.
Yes.
Yeah. And so it's helpful to just acknowledge to yourself, okay, I'm an emotional eat. There's nothing wrong with that. It's very human, very normal. Is this whatever food worth eating over it emotionally, or is there a feeling I could be willing to feel right now? And it may change from day to day. Like I have days where I'm like, it's 4 o'clock, I want a snack. I'm like, you're not hungry, wait to dinner, no biggie. I have other days where I'm like, it's 4 o'clock, I want a snack. And I'm like, I don't care, I'm not hungry, I'm having it anyway. And I own it.
It's a matter of not making it a habit and not going back for more snack.
That is true.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Because there are definitely days where I'm emotionally like, I just freaking need a snack. I need chocolate. So.
And that's you can own that and be like, yep, chocolate is not going to fix this, but it's going to make me feel better right now. At least my brain thinks so, and I am okay with the outcomes. Yeah.
Okay.
As a
Super cool.
total aside, way back in the day, I used to work for an internet marketer, and I curated a list of online marketing board, sorry, job boards. So there
Yeah.
are job boards for online jobs. If you send me a message through like the blue question mark and just say, please send this to Lizzie, I can send you the list of links, and who knows, maybe something will come up.
Thank you so much. I
My
appreciate
pleasure.
that.
Yeah. And anyone who's listening to this replay, if you're looking for a job and you want that list of job boards, send me a note. It's totally fine.
All right, I wrote that down.
Great.
Thank you.
You're so welcome, Lisa. And what art do you do? I see all the stuff behind you.
I'm a card maker. I'm in the process of making 1,400 Christmas cards for charity right now.
Wow.
Yeah,
That's
so
amazing.
I had a store for 10 years and I taught for many years, and that's what I do.
So great.
Thank
Wow.
you.
Well,
Thank
I
you.
love that you have that creative outlet. And like I said, lean in. It is not a waste of time. It is helping your nervous system feel regulated.
Good. Thank you.
Yeah, you're so welcome. Thank you for raising your hand, Lisa. All right, let's see. We got a couple of questions in the Q&A, and we'll roll on out of here. All right. Anonymous says, I lost 60 pounds and had been in maintenance for about a year and a half. I stopped smoking 38 days ago and have put on 7 pounds. This is my first regain since losing my weight. Any tips for me? I don't want to gain any more weight and now want to work on getting the extra weight off. Okay, so the fact that you've stopped smoking is, an indicator that basically your brain is looking for that dopamine, that fix, and so it's like, well, if you're not going to give it to me with the smoking, how about food? That's very, very normal. And so, what you are facing is like a discomfort. And so, you know, when you have an urge to eat, when you have an urge to smoke. You know, your brain's saying, no, we're not smoking, but we could eat. Acknowledge that, like, I am trying to avoid the discomfort of the urge. So normal. But you can also tell yourself, I'm going to feel discomfort either way. There's either the discomfort of the urge in this moment or the discomfort of my pants not fitting. Which is the discomfort you want to choose? And so be honest with yourself of like, I'm not getting out of this without discomfort. What's the discomfort I want to choose? And when that urge comes along, if you decide, okay, I want to try and like own the discomfort of this urge, here's a way to do it is just be like, first of all, what am I feeling? I'm feeling anxious, frustrated. You know, they're all the reasons why we eat, all the reasons why we want to smoke. There could be that. And walk through that tool of what am I feeling? I'm allowed to feel this way. I don't have to fix it. And very important, big breath and let it out. That kind of allows your nervous system to feel safe, that you can feel this urge, you can feel this feeling and breathe through it and not die. And I don't say that facetiously because part of your brain is like, we're gonna die if we don't have the thing that we're, jonesing for. Alternatively, another way to allow an urge is there, usually the urges come along fairly predictably. I am quite certain at 5 o'clock this evening, I will have an urge for a glass of wine. I will not be a surprise. And when that comes along, I can say, okay, here it is. I was expecting that. What does it feel like in my body? And I've done this a few times. So I can tell you a lot of times it feels like tension here in my shoulders. Occasionally, it weirdly feels like this sort of heaviness in my belly, which is unusual. But you can just be like, where is it in my body? And just sort of tune in. Like, all right, it's kind of here, it's kind of there. If you want, you can say, if I could give it a color or a shape, does it have a color or a shape? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. You know, if you can't, it's totally fine. Here's a key part. Rate it on a scale of 1 to 10. 1 is it is totally zen, not a problem. 10 is it's very intense and very uncomfortable. And just rate it and be like, where is it right now? Be like, all right, it's a 6, it's a 4, whatever it is. All right, then like breathe through it. Try and distract yourself for 2 minutes, set a timer, do something. Check your email, scroll your phone, pet the dog. That's a really good idea because that also regulates your nervous system. And then recheck in. Okay. Where is it? Is it still there? Yeah, it's still there. Still, now rate it. Is it still a 6? Is it, and so just observe it. That's, you're not fighting it. You're not saying, go away, urge. You're being like, here it is. How bad is it? What's going on? And just be curious about it. So thank you for asking that question. All right. Jackie says, I tried a protein water from Target. It was so sweet. And I did not like it. Is there a protein product we can add to water to increase our protein intake? Thoughts? Yeah, sure. There's lots of protein powders out there on the marketplace. I've been using one for a long time. It's Dymatize. Don't ask me like what's in it. Corinne has done all of the research on the good stuff. Mine is the bro kind. It's got probably lots of chemicals in it, but it's tasty. So it's like the chocolate kind. But yeah, investigate different protein powders that you can mix up in water or other things. The way that you can choose a protein powder is on, various different metrics. So cost is one, taste is one, ingredients is one. Like if green organic ingredients is important to you, check that. If the taste really matters, check that. Like, just try a few and then see what you like. But there are lots and lots to choose from. And the last one is Anonymous says, how do we contact you to request the list of job sites, please? I don't have access to Facebook. Thank you so much. No problem. Please go to the No BS website. So that's there. Okay, there's a couple. So nobswomen.com, right? Oh, nobswomen.com/member. And any page on the nobswomen.com/member website, there's a blue question mark in the lower right-hand corner. Click that. That will take you to an email that you can send to support and just say, hey, support, or Vern or Lori, because they're the ones that are going to get it. Say, please send this email to Lizzie. And they will reply and say, you got it. And it'll come right to me. Cool. All right, team. Thank you so much for spending some time with me today. It's been great to have all these conversations, and I appreciate you so much. I can't wait till next month. If you are not in the Facebook group, please join the Facebook group because I have been doing Facebook Lives on the new maintenance material. And we just went through module three about a week and a half ago. And so module four is going to be coming up pretty soon. I have been having so much fun talking to you all about that. I want to hear your questions. I want to know what's working, what's not working. Give me the stuff. All right. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Talk to you later, y'all. Bye.